Chair McClure?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Caruso?
Here.
Ranking Member Rayner?
I am present.
Representatives Alvarez?
Here.
Bartleman? Black?
Here.
Buchanan?
Here.
Busada Cabrera? Casello?
Here.
Escamani? Fabricio?
Here.
Gant? Griffiths?
Here.
Holcomb?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Persons Malika?
Here.
Porras? Roach? Robinson? Roth?
Here.
Temple?
A quorum is present.
Members of the committee and in the gallery here, please make sure our cell phones and communication devices are turned off or placed in silent mode. Members of the public wishing to speak, please fill out an appearance form and give it to staff. We'd love to hear from you. All right, here we go. How about Representative Tremont, House Bill 7001, Reporter of Child Abuse Abandonment or Neglect. You're recognized to introduce your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member for hearing this bill. This bill simply saves from repeal the public record exemption concerning certain identifying information of a person reporting child abuse, abandonment, and neglect. That is the bill.
Members, we're in questions. Are there questions? We're in public testimony. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, is waving in support. Members, we're in debate. Is there debate? You're recognized to close.
Wave.
Having waved close, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan? Busada Cabrera? Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple? Chair McClure?
Yes. 19 days. Congratulations. Show the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair.
Representative Daly, it appears we're living in a different world than we did even 2 minutes ago. You're recognized to introduce CS for House Bill 793, Coral Springs Improvement District, Broward County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that very much. It's a new world, and I'm proud to be in it. House Bill 793 is a local bill, Mr. Chairman, relating to the Coral Springs Improvement District. It simply revises the threshold at which they have to go for a full competitive sealed bid, and it puts them in alignment with other similarly situated districts, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful explanation. Members, questions? Questions? We're in public testimony. Chris Lyon, Coral Springs Improvement District, is waving in support. Members, we're in debate. Is there debate? You're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Having waved on his bill, please call the roll, Ms. Lexi.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yay.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera? Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple? Chair McClure?
Yes.
19 years.
Congratulations, Representative Daly. Please show CS for House Bill 793 reported favorably. Chair Buchanan, good morning. How about House Joint Resolution 7017, Annual Adjustment to Homestead Exemption Value? You ready to present that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this HJR proposes to index, if passed and approved by voters, the existing homestead exemption that is non-school levy to inflation. That is the HJR.
Having introduced the resolution, members, we're in questions. I'm sorry, Chair Buchanan. We got an amendment. Barcode 280341. You're recognized to introduce your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment specifies that the annual inflation adjustment to non-school levy homestead exemptions applies only when there's positive growth in inflation. It also makes some technical clarifying changes. That is the amendment.
Members, questions on the amendment? We're in public testimony on the amendment. We're in debate on the amendment. Okay. You're recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Having wave close, all in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
All opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. It's just not out. Okay. Yeah. Yep, we're going to ask questions on the bill as amended, okay? So, seeing no questions.
Really?
You have jokes today.
Just wishful thinking. Ranking member, why don't you kick us off?
Ranking member has no questions.
It sure looked like it. Representative Gant.
You know it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're recognizing questions.
Okay, so my only question, Rep. Buchanan, is from my understanding, how would this bill impact our first responders like police and firefighters regarding salaries, especially those who are whose contracts and salaries are paid by cities?
You're recognized, Chair Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I appreciate the question. I don't necessarily see how that could directly impact it. Each local government will have to make those decisions as it relates to their budget.
Who wants to go first? Rep. Barberman? You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I'll follow up on Representative Gant's question. They have one pot of money to pay their bills, and what your bill is doing is you're diminishing their ability to collect dollars. So how can you say it's not going to impact their ability to pay those bills, which includes fire, their Florida retirement system, police services? Everything the city does comes from that one pot of money. So how can you say it's not going to impact that?
Chair Buchanan, if you want to try it again, you're right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Bartleman, for that question. The way I look at this, Representative Bartleman, is I don't necessarily think this is, you know, the state or the local government's money to begin with. This is the people's money, and we're simply, over time, indexing their homestead exemption, the existing homestead exemption, which is $25,000 for the non-school levied portion, over time, year over year.
Follow-up?
Sorry. And I apologize, Chair, I just was looking at him. So my next question is, right now, property values are through the roof. Everyone's doing great. And you're writing this at this point in time. I doubt this bill would have been brought forward during the housing crash in 2008. So what happens when the market crashes again?
You're recognized, Chair Buchanan.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for that question. What I can tell you is over time, you know, $25,000 when that was originally implemented is not what it is today. And so the goal of this HJR that'll be brought to the voters for their decision is whether or not over time that should be adjusted to reflect inflation.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Chair. And I guess it's kind of in the same lines. I want to know, in this piece of legislation, are there any controls for CPI adjustments?
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for the question. What we're talking about as it relates to tying, we're basically tying it to inflation, which is a iteration of CPI that we're referring to. It's the same iteration that we use for the Save Our Homes 3% cap.
Follow up. Yes. So I'm glad that you said this. I want to know, would you consider actually having an amendment to have some caps, you know, here also?
You're recognized to consider it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not at this time.
Additional questions, members? We're in public testimony. Bob McGee, Board Association of Counties, is an opponent wishing to appear in person. You're recognized, sir.
Legislation. The reason why is that where property tax is concerned, because of the way it operates, because every year local governments have to take a millage vote to set that rate on the base, they build their budget first. And so when that rate is set, it falls equally on all taxpayers in the taxable base with relationship to their taxable value. What this does today is it shifts the burden. It shifts the burden from homesteaders to other participants in the property tax system, to businesses, to renters, to second homeowners. Today, homesteaders only pay on 45% of their taxable value, primarily because of Save Our Homes. It's important to recognize that while the homestead exemption has not changed, Save Our Homes now provides benefit equivalent to almost 7 or 8 times what the original homestead exemption provides. The other participants in the property tax system have to pick up that burden. Businesses, second homeowners, and renters collectively pay on about 80% of their value. For that reason, we cannot support this amendment. We cannot support shifting more burden to our businesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. William Underwood, Fire Chief of the Bayshore Fire Rescue, is waving in support. Thank you for being here. Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities, is an opponent. All right, members, we're in debate.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the State Affairs Committee. I'm not going to echo the same comments that have already been made by our counterpart at the Florida Association of Counties, but we do would like to offer some things for consideration. Is that the bill as it is written does not contemplate times that we witnessed back in 2008 and 2009 where property values were declining, yet CPI and inflation were high. In this instance, our understanding of the bill is that you could see where the homestead value of a property has decreased because the property market is dictating that, but they could also get an additional exemption on top of that because of the adjustment related to the consumer price index. We would like to work with the sponsor in order to address that concern. We also would like to see controls considered as it relates similarly to Save Our Homes, where you have a 3% adjustment or CPI, whichever is lower. We'd like to have a conversation with the sponsor about potentially considering a similar control to have parity between the Save Our Homes valuation cap versus the CPI homestead exemption increase. With that, sir, we remain opposed to the bill.
Thank you. All right, now members, we're in debate. Is there debate? I can't see. You're recognized, Representative Bartleman.
Thank you, Chair Buchanan, and thank you, Chair, for bringing this bill. At this time, I cannot support it. I have heard from all of my cities. This will have a negative impact to each and every one of them. I'm also concerned about the housing crisis that exists in Broward County, knowing that the burden will be passed on to the businesses in my county, as well as the rental properties that will negatively impact the people who are renting because those rates would have to go up. So at this time, I'm going to be down, and I appreciate future discussions on this bill. Thank you.
Additional debate, members. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And I will be down on this bill also. And really, if you were able to maybe consider an amendment such as putting a cap or something similar to what we have for Save Our Homes, that may make this a little friendlier. I am very, very concerned when it comes to our renters, because as we know here in Florida, we have a serious housing crisis. We've been trying to fix it in some manners, but this here would actually take us back and somewhat hurt some of our renters. So at this time, I wouldn't be able to support this either.
Representative Escamani in debate.
Thank you so much, Chair. And Rep. Buchanan, I really appreciate all the conversations we've had about this and your efforts to listen to all the stakeholders. I know you'll continue to do that. But as we talked about, my concerns remain the same from the Ways and Means Committee when it comes to our local government trying to meet the high demand of, one, an expensive workforce, especially for police and fire, alongside, at the end of the day, costs will be shift. And I see this less as a tax cut and more of a tax shift, where folks that are not property owners would end up having to make up the difference. And I'm a renter, so I can relate to that. The only other point I'll make, too, is thinking about local governments and the inability to find other sources of revenue. At the end of the day, local governments have responsibilities and expectations, and we need to be proactive in helping them meet that demand, not making it more difficult. With that, I'm going to have to slow vote down. But I thank you again for all your work on it.
Members, additional debate. Seeing none, Chair Buchanan, you're recognized to close on your resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this HJR is going to encourage home ownership, drive down the cost of home ownership, and ensure over time as the cost of living goes up, that is reflected in their homestead exemption taxes. That is the HJR.
Having closed on his HJR, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bartleman?
No.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Posada Cabrera? Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
No.
Escamani?
No.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple? Chair McClure?
Yes.
13 yeas, 8 nays.
Congratulations. Please show HJR 7017 report favorably. Chair Buchanan, we're going to give you a break and hear from Chair Fine on House Resolution 1209. Disassociation from Council on American Islamic Relations. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members. You know, as we've learned since the horrific terror attacks on October 7th, it's important to call out evil wherever we find it. And one of the things that we've seen since that moment is there is something that the FBI has described as an American front for Hamas, operating not only in this country, but here in the state, the so-called Council on American Islamic Relations. This resolution does two things. First, it lays out the fact pattern going back over since the organization's founding, of all of its association and support of terrorism. And then second, it encourages all state, local, and universities in the state to abandon any and all relationships with this terror organization, and that is the resolution.
Members, we're on questions. Representative Escamani, in questions.
Thank you so much, Chair, and thank you, Representative Fine, for presenting the introduction. I'm curious if you've had any conversations with, you know, individuals in Florida that have worked with CARE and, you know, what their thoughts are to the resolution.
You're recognized, Chair Fun.
Thank you. I'm certain that I've had conversations with people who've worked with this organization on something. I do not believe anyone has contacted my office requesting a meeting to discuss those issues.
Okay. Follow-up, Chair?
You're recognized.
Thank you so much. What local governments right now have a relationship with CARE Florida?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman. I don't know the answer to that.
Heck of a promotion.
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe you deserve it. We'll talk to your friend Danny.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I understand condemning what are incredibly offensive remarks, and I respect that. But do the remarks of one person reflect an entire organization, especially the work happening in Florida?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as the resolution documents, this is a pattern of comments by an organization and people affiliated with it going back over two decades. You know, one stupid comment you can probably forgive, but 20 years of them that you can't. In fact, this organization was created in order to be a public front for Hamas in the United States. The FBI ended its relationship with this organization over 10 years ago. The UAE ended its relationship with this organization almost 10 years ago. So this is not as a result of horrific comments, and I'm glad to see that you agree that they are horrific comments by the leader of that organization just several weeks ago. But I think you've got a fact pattern here that shows that this is eminently justified, and we should call it out for what it is.
We're in additional questions, members. Do you have a follow-up?
One quick follow-up, Chair, if I may. Thank you so much. You mentioned the FBI. I'm not sure. Were you able to review the Office of Inspector General review of the FBI's interactions with CARE and just some of the concerns OIG had in that interaction between the two?
You recognize.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. What I do know is back in the late aughts, the FBI identified an organization, met, and they said, this is when the Holy Land Foundation was prosecuted. And what they found in those meetings was they said, how can we create a front in the United States that will publicly argue and advocate on the impact of organizations like Hamas? And that is when CARE was created.
Additional questions, members?
One last question, Chair, if I may.
For your second last.
Thank you. I know that sometimes there has been conflation between, for example, humanitarian resources compared to terrorism. And so based on just your investigation, is there any conflation like that taking place, or are you 100% convinced that it is the latter?
You're recognized.
I don't really understand the question, but given that CARE is an American organization, I'm not sure what they would be doing on a humanitarian basis.
Additional questions, members? We are in public testimony. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, is waiving in support. Members, we're in debate. Representative Escamani in debate.
Thank you so much, Chair. I've had the opportunity to work with several organizations across the state, some that are faith-based, some that are culturally focused, covering the spectrum of different, not just beliefs, but also viewpoints. And there are going to be organizations that I don't 100% agree with and organizations that have leaders that say things that I do not support whatsoever. I also am not someone who believes in just canceling an organization because maybe the national branch, national office is problematic. So I do have concern because I've known CARE Florida in particular to be an organization that helps center human rights and civil rights. They've helped to defend, for example, Muslims who have faced discrimination post 9/11. You know, as someone who has Iranian family, you know, CARE Florida was an organization that stood up against the Muslim ban under former President Trump. So I think it's a disservice when we ignore a lot of the good work this organization has done in our state. And though I agree with the condemning of remarks, I do have concern with encouraging local governments, even if I'm not even sure what local governments have relationships, but I do worry about canceling an organization because of the terrible words and remarks of one individual. I think if it was more centered on the remarks, it would give me more comfort, but I have known CARE Florida in particular to just be a really thoughtful partner. And so with that, members, I'm going to have to vote no on this, and I do appreciate the chair for providing the opportunity to ask questions.
Absolutely. Ranking, excuse me, ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And I just want to agree and echo the comments of my colleague, Representative Escamani. I have had the opportunity to work with CARE in my community when we were in the middle of the pandemic and uprisings regarding George Floyd. CARE locally were some of our partners in not only providing relief, but also standing with us in solidarity. And while I understand that the comments by the leader of CARE were absolutely abhorrent and horrific, I have a problem with canceling those comments because I feel like if we're gonna do that, we should keep the same energy for some members that are in this house. If we're gonna do that, we should keep the same energy with a lot of other things, and we do not. And so if we're a house that talks a lot about making sure that we're protecting all folks and making sure that we are doing what needs to be done, I just have a problem with canceling folks. And if we were going to center in on those specific comments, I think that this resolution would pass without any objection from any other members. And so for today, for that reason, I will be a no on this resolution.
Additional debate members. Representative Black in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Chair Fine, for bringing this memorial. I would just like to remind everyone of what Chair Fine said just a moment ago. This organization is not being singled out because of one set of statements, but rather for a fact pattern over decades. And the fact that an organization might do something from time to time that we find commendable does not excuse the rot in the heart of the organization itself. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bartleman.
I'm actually very torn on this because I do have issues with sweeping allegations against Muslim Americans, and hate goes both ways. In terms of CARE, I have worked with people in Florida, and I have not seen what national CARE has demonstrated. However, I am very disheartened by the remarks and upset about it. I'm very torn on how I should vote because I know there's individuals personally that do not feel this way and are not, and we're generalizing here. And it hurts me that they're being lumped into this one category. So I think for today I'm gonna just be up because I am upset about the national leadership and what they've said. but I am. It hurt. I don't like resolutions like this that aren't. That just make sweeping generalizations against everyone. So that's where I am today. We'll see where I am on the floor. Thank you.
Representative Holcomb.
Thank you, Chair. Just real quick. Been studying terrorism for 17 years now as part of the Navy, and I will tell you that one organization will fund other organizations that will fund other organizations which will perform their tasks. The FBI has figured it out in 2008, so I think it makes it very clear that we should not be doing businesses with organizations that support terrorism. Thank you.
Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to echo my colleagues regarding making blanket statements about organizations, because as we recently, I don't want to say commemorated, but remembered the anniversary of January 6th, the Proud Boys have not been condemned in the same way and continue to have rather friendly influence across the board. And if we look historically, there are other organizations that we can look at like that. And so sending a message to Floridians, especially who are part of the Muslim community and that provide service to their communities, I will be down on this resolution, because if we continue to just make blanket condemnations, then either we're going to do it for everyone or we're not going to do it at all. So again, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so I will be down, because this is a sweeping condemnation of people who did not influence those comments and probably condemn it themselves, but are a part of this organization. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further debate, members. Vice Chair Caruso in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to thank the sponsor, Chair Fine, for his advocacy for the Jewish citizens of the state of Florida, for Israel, and is taking up the fight against anti-Semitism, which we know is on the rise. This disassociation with organizations that are tied to terrorism is another example of your good work. So thank you. I'm up on the bill.
Seeing no further debate, Chair Fine, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members. I need to correct a number of things. Look, if I was in the wrong, I would probably, you know, attempt to masquerade what is in the resolution as well. This is not a resolution that targets one comment, which I will read shortly for you, made at one time. Prior to that comment, there are 102 lines of debate, of resolution, that talk about a history of these kinds of comments going back 20 years. So the desire to focus on the comments, again, which I will read, of the co-founder and leader of the organization saying, well, if you were just targeting that, I'd have an issue. I think it's honestly, it's a dishonest argument. I rarely agree with Joe Biden on anything. But on this one, even he had enough. Even he said the federal government shouldn't have anything to do with these folks. This bill doesn't cancel anything. Canceling implies it goes away. These people can continue to do whatever they want. They have for 20 years. It just means that the government doesn't have to work with them, like the FBI doesn't, like the UAE doesn't, like other states do not. And for those who say we're focused on the actions of a national organization that does nothing in Florida, I would ask you to take a look at the page before the alleged only issue that I have with this organization, where in lines 89 to 95, we talk about how in 2020, the Florida affiliate of this organization invited a convicted terrorist to participate in one of their webinars. A convicted terrorist, a convicted advocate for Islamic terror. That was not the national organization. That was the Florida affiliate. Now, again, I understand why people would want to masquerade on those things. And for those saying we're not going against every organization, therefore we shouldn't go against this one, I am happy to vote. I hope that the representative who talked about the Proud Boy will point me in the direction of her resolution that goes after the Proud Boys. I would be more than happy to help. The fact that a bill doesn't do everything and only does something doesn't mean we should stop at that.
But I will focus on the words that were said by this leader, by this co-founder of this terror organization, the executive director, who, as far as I can tell, after having said these remarks, remains the executive director of this organization. He said, and I quote, shortly after the October 7th attacks, actually not even shortly, on November 24th, 6 weeks afterwards. So there was plenty of time to understand what had gone on and what had taken place. Plenty of time. We were no longer in the fog of war. Everyone knew what was going on. You could watch the 47 minutes of horror that I have had the misfortune of seeing multiple times. He said this, the people of Gaza only decided to break the siege, the walls of their concentration camp on October 7th. And yes, I was happy. I was happy to see people breaking the siege and throwing down the shackles of their own land and walk free into their own land, which they were not allowed to walk in. And yes, the people of Gaza have the right to self-defense, have the right to defend themselves. And yes, Israel, as an occupying power, does not have that right to self-defense. Some of you may have not seen the news this morning. But it was announced by the government of Israel that today 21 Israeli soldiers were killed fighting the same people that this clown said he was happy to see fighting. This should be one of the easiest votes that you ever take in the Florida legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Having closed on his resolution, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Husada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
No.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant? Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
Yes.
17 years.
Congratulations, Chair Fine. Please report House Resolution 1209 favorably.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, most of you. Thanks.
Yes, have a good day. Chair Buchanan, long enough break for you?
I'm ready, Chair.
Let's do it. House Bill 7019, exemption of homesteads.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. HB 7019 is the implementing bill for the HJR 7017 that I just presented, of which there is a substantive amendment.
Let's hear the amendment, Chair Buchanan. That is barcode 453791. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment makes three changes. It makes conforming changes consistent with the amendment to the HJR 7017 we just adopted. It adds provisions to provide an annual appropriation to offset revenue losses for fiscally constrained counties. It also provides emergency rulemaking authority to the Department of Revenue to implement the provisions in the Act. That is the amendment.
Members, questions on the amendment? We're in public testimony on the amendment. Chris Doolin, Small County Coalition, is wishing to appear. Now, you're wanting to appear on the amendment, right, sir? All right, you're recognized. Do you mind turning on your microphone?
Yes, sir.
You did.
Somebody just did. There you go. My name is Chris Doolin. I represent the Small County Coalition. It's a group of 40, 29 are fiscally constrained. I want to thank Representative Buchanan. This amendment incorporates the fiscally constrained component, which is a practice of the legislature whenever there is a proposed homestead exemption expansion. It's like the third or fourth time that this has happened, and we do appreciate that. So with that, I'll save the time on what a fiscally constrained is and what the value of a mill is and all that, because it's substantially below the statewide average, and many of these counties are at 8, 9, 10 mills. So thank you very much, and I'd like to work with you on other fiscally constrained components that come along with some other bills that are in the hopper. And so thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Members, we're in debate on the amendment. Is there a debate? You recognize the close on your amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived, close. All in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
All opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, do we have questions on the bill as amended? You're recognized, Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I potentially only have two questions. My first question is, does this include cities included in the fiscally constrained counties.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, it does not. It's fiscally constrained counties.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're recognized.
Will this offset help cities within fiscally constrained counties that are not within rural areas of opportunities?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you restate the question, please?
Can you restate the question, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. No problem, Rep. Buchanan. My question is, will this offset that's included in your bill help cities within fiscally constrained counties that are not within rural areas of opportunities?
I'm not sure I understand any better the second time, but Chair Buchanan, I hope you do.
It addresses fiscally constrained counties.
So presumably the cities within those counties would be affected?
It's specifically related to fiscally constrained counties, Mr. Chair. Cities within those counties, I don't think that's not defined or in the bill.
Follow up?
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. So my question goes to the heart of if it's a fiscally constrained municipality within a fiscally constrained county, how would the municipality be impacted? That's the question, or that's what I'm going for.
Chair Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We don't even have a definition for fiscally constrained cities in this bill. Again, I'm going to tell you that it's related to fiscally constrained counties that we're addressing with that amendment that was put in.
Additional questions, members? Representative Escamona.
Thank you so much, Chair. And Rep. Buchanan, can you remind us of the fiscal and from the REC on this, and then what changes the amendment makes on that fiscal?
You're recognized, Chair Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, the fiscal would be approximately 22.8 million, growing approximately to 111 million by 2028-2029.
Additional questions, members? We are in public testimony. Charles Chapman, Florida League of Cities, is here for information. Anybody need any information for Mr. Chapman? You gonna talk to Mr. Chapman?
At the pleasure.
We'd love to hear it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair, and members of the committee. Simply the information we would like to share is that we are very happy for our counterparts in the fiscally constrained counties for their offset language within the amendment to 7019. However, we do have concerns. We do have cities within those fiscally constrained counties that also have funding constraints similar to our counterparts at the county level, and look forward to working with Representative Buchanan to address those concerns at his pleasure. So, thank you.
All right, members, we're in debate. Any debate? You recognize the close.
I'll waive close.
Having waived close, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yay.
Bartleman?
No.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
No.
Escamani?
No.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney? Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
No.
Roach?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
Yes. Congratulations, Chair Buchanan. 2-for-2 today. Please show House Bill 7019 reported favorably. All right, Representative Griffiths, how about House Bill 7007, Campus Emergency Response? You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the OGSR for Campus Emergency Response. This bill saves from repeal the public record and public meeting exemptions for a campus emergency response of a public post-secondary educational institution. This bill also removes an unnecessary provision of the exemption that specifies how the information may be shared. And that is the bill, sir.
Fantastic. Members, have we got questions on this? We're in public testimony. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. We're in debate, members. You're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez? Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Quesada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
Yes. Congratulations. Show House Bill 7007 reported favorably. Don't go far, Representative Griffiths. House Bill 7009, Mental Health Treatment and Services. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Mental Health Treatment and Services, OGSR. This bill saves from repeal of public record exemption for all positions, court orders, and related records that are filed with or by a court pursuant to the Baker Act for voluntary and involuntary admission for a mental health treatment. The exception ensures these records may only be released to specific individuals and entities, and that is the bill, sir.
We have questions. We're in public testimony. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waving in support. We're in debate. You're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave closer.
Having waved close, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez? Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Quesada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
19
years. Congratulations. Please show House Bill 7009 reported favorably. All right. A little bit of a change in plans. Chairpersons Malika, how about CS for House Bill 7013? Are you prepared to present that bill?
I'm ready, Mr. Chair.
All right, let's hear it. Special districts, you're recognized.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, fellow members, HB 7013 seeks to provide increased oversight, transparency, and accountability for special districts generally. The bill revises the criteria for declaring a special district inactive to include independent special districts and community redevelopment districts that have reported no revenue, no expenditure, and no debt for at least 5 consecutive fiscal years. The bill establishes a 12-year term limit for elected special district governing body members that would apply prospectively, commencing with the 2024 general election. The bill requires all special districts to adopt goals and objectives, as well as performance measures, in order to assess if the district is achieving its goals. The bill makes a series of reforms relating to specific types of special districts, including prohibiting the creation of new neighborhood improvement districts and requiring existing neighborhood improvement districts to be reviewed by the Office of Program Policy and Government Accountability by September 30th, 2025. The bill requires the petition to create a community development district to contain an affidavit that the development will include sufficient residential units to ensure eventual conversion to a popularly elected board. The bill requires independent fire control districts to annually certify to the state fire marshal as to whether the professional and volunteer firefighters that serve the district have met training and employment requirements. And the bill requires mosquito control districts to maintain state approval and provides that the district may be declared inactive for failure to do so. Members, that is the bill. And there is an amendment.
All right, let's start. Representative Griffiths, I understand you have an amendment, barcode 276939, but we may want to do something different with that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. After consideration, we're going to withdraw the amendment.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to move on to barcode 768677 by Chairpersons Malika. Chairpersons Malika, you're recognized to introduce your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the amendment requires special districts to publish their annual report regarding their goals and objectives on their website by December 1st of each year. The bill also requires each petition to create a community development district to attest that a majority of the acreage within the district will be used for residential development. And the amendment makes a conforming change by repealing a provision that would allow a community development district to convert into a municipality without legislative approval. Members, that is the amendment.
Members, questions on the amendment? Public testimony on the amendment. Michael Chait, Florida Fire Chiefs Association is waving in support. David Cambarieri, did I get that right? Very nice. Waving in support. You want to speak? Yes, sir. Come on up. Love to hear from you. I should add that he's the fire chief for the Lee County Fire Chiefs Association. He's a fire chief and...
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee members. I wanted to thank the bill sponsor for working with the date that's been proposed. I would like to continue to work with the bill sponsor on that date. On getting the position of when that report is due, we have a fiscal year that runs October 1 through September 30, and then our calendar year. And all of our reports for our annual reports, for how many calls we run, what our metrics are the calendar year. So perhaps we could augment when our OPAGA reviews are in, because we're going to not be finished with the calendar year before that December 1st date. So we'd like to be able to work with the bill sponsor on fine-tuning that. Otherwise, we do support the amendment. Thank you very much.
Debate on the amendment, members. You're recognized to close on your amendment, Chair.
Wave close.
Having waved close, all in favor signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. All right, members, we're back on the bill as amended. Are there questions on the bill as it is amended? Public testimony on the bill. Ryan Crawford, South Walton Fire District, Fire Chief and Administrator, is waving in support. Harold Theus, Florida Fire Chiefs Association, waving in support. Michael Rubin, Florida Ports Council, is an opponent wishing to speak with information. You got them all checked. This is fantastic. You're recognized.
Checking all the blocks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I love it.
Michael Rubin, Florida Ports Council. I'm the president. I have the privilege of representing Florida's 16 statutory seaports, including seven which are impacted by this legislation. Madam Chair, I appreciate you meeting with us and having a discussion. Really, our concern is, and the reason I had to check the block that says opponent, is we're just trying to make sure that the legislative intent behind the goals and objective language in there. As many of you know, our seaports are required to file a comprehensive master plan. There's annual reports that all of them are supposed to do. If you look at Chapter 311, we even have a report that we're going to be presenting to you all on Friday talking about the impact of Florida seaports. So we truly believe in the transparency that you have in this bill. We just want to make sure that the term goals and objectives is not different than the other statutory terms that require several reports from our seaports. We hope that those reports that are required currently annually by statute will comply with the goals and objectives. As an attorney, my only concern is you've used different language in this that is different than what's in Chapter 311, Chapter 315, Chapter 163, and several others that are on there. So, Madam Chair, as we move forward, maybe there's some further clarification or just some comfort I can give to my seaports that the process and certainly the information they put out there will suffice for what you want. And I want to thank again all of you before I leave here for your support of Florida Seaports, and we appreciate the investment you all make. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You sure may, Ranking Member. We've got a question real quick.
Thank you so much for that information. And I specifically represent parts of Hillsborough County, so you represent the seaports. Does this bill, would this bill affect any parts of Hillsborough or Pinellas County, in your estimation?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Port of Tampa Bay is a special district, so yes, this legislation would impact Port of Tampa Bay.
Good. All right, Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I represent Miami-Dade County. So the definition that you're concerned about, do the existing statutes that you just mentioned, are they in line with a federal requirement. Can you explain if there's like a concern about if there's a different definition here, how it would impact the other statutes, and if that would impact any federal requirements on the seaports as well?
You're recognized.
I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say that we have existing reports, for instance, the dredging being done down at Port Miami-Dade, who is not impacted by this bill, by the way, is a report that all of my other ports do with respect to federal dredging requirements. There's a cost-benefit analysis. It's pretty comprehensive. And again, it's the question of, are all those studies that are being done, would that qualify for the goals and objectives that's in this? But no conflict, really, I would say. It's just more of a matter of what reports do you want from Florida Seaports.
There's no ports in Orlando, Representative.
You took my joke, Chair.
So do you still have a question?
No.
Additional questions. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Mr. William Underwood, we got to do a little cleanup here before we hear from you. On here, it is marked House Bill 7017 by Chair Buchanan, but I'm assuming you wanted to speak or wave in support of this bill. Is that correct? Okay, very good. We'll mark that here. So please show that William Underwood, the fire chief for the Bayshore Fire Rescue, is waving in support of this bill. Jim Milliken, Florida Special Districts Association, is a proponent wishing to appear. And there you are. You are recognized.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Thank you, committee members. I'm the president of the Florida Association of Special Districts. I'm also a division chief with the Lelman Fire District in Pinellas County. And first, I want to say thank you to the sponsor for working with us on the bill, getting the referendum part removed, and setting, resetting a date. We do want to talk to you more about that. We hope to work with the sponsor as well on the reporting for the state requirements for firefighters. State-certified firefighters are compliant with the state of Florida already. There's no training requirement to report back to the state. It's actually in Statute 633 and also in the Florida Administrative Code 69A. So that is reported already, and that's what tracks them in the state fire marshals already. So thank you very much for that. And just want to also, along the road, we heard that, you know, about the Hernando Beach Volunteer Fire Department. They were never an independent special fire control district. They were a fire company, private. And so that what took place with them was a private company and not a special district. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Fire Chief Greg Dewitt, Bonita Springs Fire Department. Waving in support. Thank you. All right, members, we're back on the bill in debate here. I guess we were always on the bill, but now we're in debate on the bill. Representative Bartleman, we're going to start way out and come back this way. We're going to kind of mix it up. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank Chairperson Smolica. When we first heard this bill, everybody had some concerns and questions, and you really sat down with every stakeholder and addressed every issue they had. One little one outstanding that I'm sure you're going to work with them on in terms of that date, but I can't say enough. I mean, everyone knows that your door is always open, and everyone who came to me was like, and she took care of everything. So I just really appreciate you for putting this together and addressing all of the issues out there. You're really a great chair. Thank you.
It's pretty good stuff, Chairman. probably ought to cut off debate right about now. What do you think? This thing's gonna tighten up. All right, who's next? Representative Escamani.
I actually just wanted to echo the same thing because I saw this bill already, and the chairwoman actually called me to make sure I didn't have any questions, and I just really appreciate that thoughtfulness because it is a big bill, right? It impacts all of our communities, and so I just want to say thank you for all of your incredible insight, expertise, and thoughtfulness to it. I'm sure the ports will be offered comfort, and you know, the goal is not to duplicate what our community partners are already doing. So when it comes to transparency, there are going to be many special districts that already do the good work of transparency. So I know for a fact that our bill sponsor will customize it to make sure that we're not going to be making government more burdensome for folks. And so with that, I'll support it today. And of course, we'll keep posted if my local governments have any other concerns.
Ranking member. You're recognized.
Don't worry, it's not going to get tight down here.
I never worry.
But no, I just thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to just thank the chairwoman for this, and I appreciate it because I know that as this bill is developing and as it's getting to the floor, you are doing your best work, yeoman's work, to make sure that everyone feels comfortable with it, that we can vote up on it. I will say, just for clarity, while I represent Port Tampa, I have not heard from Port Tampa, so which is another reason I'm going to continue to be up on this bill today. They know how to find me if there are concerns, and they most certainly know how to find the chairwoman, who has made herself very accessible and available to folks. I do want to shout out Leoman, and thank you so much for coming. Stand up Pinellas County, and thank you so much again, Chairwoman, just for your thoughtfulness on this bill.
Additional debate, members. Chairperson Smolak, I personally want to thank you. We've had far too many conversations about this bill, but you've done a masterful job in really contemplating all of the intended and unintended consequences. It's not been an easy lift. Perhaps we still have a little bit more to do, but I know you're earnest in the way you're going about this bill, so thank you for that. You're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to all the members for your comments, not only in this committee, but in past committees. This has been a group effort to get it to here this far. And ranking member, I just want to let you know that I've had multiple conversations with the Port of Tampa, and the major concern was the voter reauthorization piece that we took out of this bill. In regards to the reporting requirements, we currently have 1,980 special districts in the state of Florida. We actually have one more special district in the state of Florida today than we did when I presented this in Ways and Means. So there's probably going to be at least one more before it hits the floor, most likely. But this bill adds that transparency and accountability requirement to every special district, requiring the setting of goals and objectives and performance measures, and then an annual report. We kept it very broad, so that each district, because we know each district is unique, can develop their own goals, can develop their own objectives and standards. And if they've already done that, then great. They've met the requirement, and the annual reporting requirement is just that they post that information online, because this is information we want the residents to have. I'm happy to continue to work on this bill, and I ask for you all, for each and every one of you, for your favorable support today.
Fantastic. Having closed on our bill, Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Husada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Parsons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
Yes. Congratulations. Please report CS for House Bill 7013 reported favorably. Chair Robinson, welcome to State Affairs. Glad to have you. Reminds me a little bit of like playing golf. Have fun and play fast. If you're not having fun, play fast. You're
glad right to be here. My favorite chairman, my favorite ranking member. Good morning. I am happy to present House Bill 867. If you remember last year, this legislature adopted the North River Ranch unanimously. All this bill does is amend the existing boundaries in the district, takes out a piece that we're going to have a school site, and adds a piece that is adjacent to it. Manatee County issued a statement of no objection to this amendment, and that's the bill, Mr. Chair.
All right, we're going to do questions. He does have an amendment, but we're going to do questions on the bill, then hear the amendment, hear the questions on that, and go on about our day. You're recognized, ranking member.
Thank you. And this, I don't know if this is about a bill, but he opened with it. Who is your favorite ranking member?
Today it's you, Madam Ranking Member.
That's a good answer.
Members, let's keep the questions on the subject of the bill. Or in additional questions? All right, we got an amendment, barcode 173923. You are recognized to introduce your good amendment.
Mr. Chair, all this amendment does is clarify what the amendment or the acreage total is within the acreage added in the bill.
Any questions on that? Oh, my goodness. You're recognized. You're recognized.
Who is your second favorite ranking member?
Additional questions, members. We're in public testimony on the amendment. We're in debate on the amendment. Having waived close on the amendment. All in favor say yay. Yay. All opposed, no. Show the amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. We do have some public testimony. Mr. Gary Hunter with Neal Communities is waving in support. We're in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? You're recognized. He has waived close. Ms. Lexi, please call the roll.
Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Black?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Parsons Malika?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Rayner?
For today, yes.
Roach? Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Chair McClure?
Yes. Congratulations, Chair Robinson. Please show House Bill 867 reported favorably. I appreciate you hanging around to make sure I said that. You know me too well. All right. Members, I think that's about it. Chairperson Maleka moves we adjourn. Seeing no further business, Representative Gant moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting's over.